This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
My name's Leilani Seal. I've produced an event as part of the Wellington Pride Festival called Rainbow Pacifica. It's the second event of its kind. I did the first one 2 years ago as part of the Wellington Pacifica Festival, and we're at in the attic, which is level 3 of the Wellington Museum, which is at 3 Jervois Quay.
It's an amazing space. Can you just describe for me what the space is like?
Okay, so there needs to be more Māori stuff, which that's a work in progress, and Polynesian stuff in general. But, I mean, there's a big giant over there. Did you go past it? And when you go past it, it goes fee-fi-fi-fum. I don't know, some mechanical puppet. There's a flying saucer in here. There's a stuffed lion, Rusty, poor Rusty. They're like, that's an actual legit lion. Memorabilia, is that enough?
Yeah, absolutely. So in amongst all of this taonga, we have got things set up for this event. Can you describe some of the things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I have a 5 metre long poster, and it's about 153 centimetres wide, designed by Māori Samoan artist Huriana Kopeke Te Aho. She does a lot of designs for political and community organisations. It is amazing. We've already got one person in here at 10 o'clock who's started to colour that in. We've got a children's table set up on the side because we don't want them to ruin the bigger picture, so they get their own picture. In one end in the Ngāho room, we have Peter from the New Zealand AIDS Foundation, who's set up a quiet space. It's curtained, it's private for people if they want to come in and get tested for free for HIV and syphilis. If you don't want to do it in that space, you've got a home kit that you can take away, and Peter will explain how you use that. And then on this side, we've got the Capitol Room, which is like an old meeting room of the Harbour Board. And we've got Gio To'a, who's the program lead for Aniwa Niwa Tai Rāwhiti. It's an LGBTQIA+ Māori Pacifica youth organisation based in Gisborne. And her boss, Mālia Pātea Taylor, who runs Tolteha Village, I think that's what Aniwa Niwa Tai Rāwhiti runs under. They're both here from Gisborne. Picked them up from the airport yesterday, and they're setting up the grazing table, and Gio will be performing later, and I'm at the DJ table setting stuff up for our three DJs, who aren't really, technically they're not DJs, but they're three outstanding young men in the community. We have Chris Olutupu, aka DJ Kulisi, who is quite a well-known artist in Aotearoa. We have Ali Fuae, Tuvalu. He is originally from Auckland, and he's a very well-known actor. He's been in lots of stuff. I saw him in the Fringe Festival a couple of years ago. He did a one-man show called Thirst. It was amazing. And then we have Kieran Meredith, who does the marketing for City Mission. Yeah, he's a bit nervous, but I reckon he'll kick ass. Yeah, oh, and we're going to have free lunch at 12.
And you've also got an open mic for Poetry
Yes,
Slam.
Poetry, yep. That's right, the spoken word. I've got a run sheet here. That's sometime in the afternoon for all you budding, because I know our kids really love spoken word. That's at about 2 o'clock. There'll be an opportunity for people to come up and do their thing. You know, and I've got little prizes for people, who are the first person who's going to be brave enough. I've got a cap with the Rainbow Pacifica logo to give away, and I might have something else, like a jacket with the logo printed on it to give away.
Why was it important to have specifically a Rainbow Pacifica event?
Just for representation, there's not many events in the Pride Festival geared towards that part of the community, and I think it might create a barrier for people to come, because if they don't see anything that's reflective of them, they're less likely to participate. But I think there are people out there who definitely would like to come to, you know, Pride and that, if there's something catered towards them. It's also the youth stuff as well. We've talked about this before. Don't want people feeling lonely. It's, It's an all. This is a family friendly all ages event. And you can come in and connect, you know, in person with people instead of on the internet. It's a good way to connect and engage. I love engaging with people, even though I come across as grumpy and antisocial. But I think it's really important.
Are you able to take me across to the colouring in table and just describe some of the words and the images that are on there?
Oh, yeah, we've got about the visual memorial tribute that Tarshalis.Cole created. It's for people in our rainbow community who have passed, specifically Māori and Pasifika. It's playing on this, like, the screen's three floors high. It's amazing. Should come and have a look at that too. Okay, so, the words. Oh, they're all like oceanic words for gender and sexuality, because, I mean, pre-missionary, pre-colonial times, gender and sexuality in Oceania, it's a lot more fluid than, I guess, Western. But Western's moving towards that. There's te katapui, that's Māori for, I think, same companions. But I think that's still a modern word, whawhawhine. It's been around for ages. That's Samoan, to be like a woman. Mahu's Hawaiian, whakawahine. That's pretty new too.
And what about some of the imagery? Can you describe that?
Well, corned beef tin, that's pretty self-explanatory. I think I just told Hiriana to go with it, and she came up with lipstick and lips. You know, bananas, yum. It's making me hungry. Poi, heels, you know. Flora and fauna, people dancing, warriors. It's pretty indicative of the different cultures across the Pacific, yeah.
And so I'm sure by the end of the day this will be completely coloured in.
Yeah, I hope so.
What will happen after that?
I'm going to find an organisation who will have it on their wall. Because the first event we had, we tried to make the world's longest rainbow lay. And that still hangs up at Evolve Youth, that's on Kewa Street. We're going to have a few people from there here, some of the workers here too. They haven't arrived yet.
And can you just take me over to the memorial wall and just tell me a wee bit about that and how that came about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was emotional the first time I watched it. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I just seem to notice more of our community passing on. But I think it's also a particular generation. I really think it's important to remember them and the impressions they left on everyone else, like, for the most part, good. And I think there was something I was really touched when Tamati Coffee spoke out on the park, particularly about Lee Smith. I mean, the wider community, especially Māori, not giving him enough credit for how he pretty much revitalised Te Reo Māori. So he's in that, and he passed away last spring. I mean, oh God, I remember meeting him when I was a teenager. I really hated him. And then the old man kind of grew on me, and I realised that, he's actually quite a softie. I mean, we're watching it as a go, his rider, August, unfortunately also passed, maybe it was the last year. But, I don't even think, rider was in their early 20s at the oldest. There's a lot of people here who were part of the earlier waves of people who contracted HIV who have passed, Andrew Pihema, Rangi Chadwick. I just think it's important for people to know their rainbow history. Yeah.
And it's a massive memorial projection. This goes over three floors down, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they deserve it. Yeah, I mean, Arthur Tohore was a pain in the butt, but he was so creative. Like, I think I was 14 when I met him. He was amazing. I thought it was funny, because that love-hate thing. But you're never going to meet anybody like him ever again.
Are you able to just say some of the names as they come up?
Oh, yeah. Jason Olsen, he's creative, passed away in Australia. Quite a few of these people passed away last year, which I was a bit shocked. It was kind of like a bit of a steamroll. There's Warren Douglas. He's this amazing dancer. Mahina Rangitoka, amazing Māori Jewish lesbian musician. Chrissy Weetuckle, And it's so cool because down on the next floor is the neon sign from the Evergreen Coffee Lounge that she owned for years. I met her as a kid too. I spent a lot of my youth in that coffee lounge. It probably saved my life too. Oh, and Derek Alvey, owner of Boy Hairdressing. They started out in Newtown. And there's Vic Tuarua Biddle, who's like a mentor to me. Grumpy old man. But yeah, and Dana DeMilo. I mean, she's a legend. Oh, there, Lee Smith's coming up. This is a beautiful picture of Lee. Yeah.
It's so lovely to have them projected onto this wall and to have them here today.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks for saying that, Gareth. But we're hoping to maybe keep this every year and just add to it. The thing about it was that it was the time that we had and just trying to get permission from families or friends because I don't want to use photos without anyone's permission. Yeah. But yeah. I think Tasha's done a fantastic job.
So, thinking about today, what do you hope to have out of today?
Oh, I just hope more people turn up and have a good time, you know, and that we get some feedback that this is something that the community wants. Otherwise, I'm going to have to have a rethink about what to do. But I did hear it through on the internet. There were quite a few kids from Auckland that actually wanted to come down but didn't have the means, so that was pretty encouraging for me considering Auckland's got a bigger population. So I'm thinking if I have it in the budget next year, maybe I could get a van and arrange for some older people in the community to bring these young people down.
Right, so we're in the attic at Wellington Museum where this fabulous Rainbow Pacifica experience is going on. My role is I work in the community engagement team here at Wellington Museum and it's just an absolute joy for us to be here today doing this. Yeah.
So, Rachel, why is it important to have events like this Rainbow Pacifica event?
The community engagement team, the whole museum, we're really focused on having visitor experiences that are meaningful for people, and we look a lot at who comes to the museum, but we're actually more concerned with who doesn't come to the museum and how we can make the museum relevant for the people who don't come so they do feel like that they are part of this museum whānau. So it's really important for us that we form relationships with communities through this sort of glorious community day kind of where people come in and they take the museum over and it's their kind of rules of engagement for the day, and we're just there to sort of support it and hopefully form relationships that mean this is now an ongoing sort of partnership and whānau into the future.
One of the things I really love is that the event is taking place in amongst all the museum taonga, so it's not in a separate room, but it's actually in the attic. And when I say the attic, I mean the attic is just full of wonderful taonga.
It's really lovely to be in the museum, and it's way more welcoming for everybody to be part of that and not locked away in a room. But it's also, I actually think the objects really enjoy it because I think it kind of brings the space alive. Like there's music and there's a kai and there's warmth and there's people engaging and having fun together and talking. And I believe that the objects probably really like that.
One of the things I also love is you've got like a kind of a three-story high projection wall with at the moment it's showing images of people that have passed. Can you tell me a wee bit about that?
So that's called our tool screen, and that's something pretty special, and we can play on that all throughout the day, and we can program whatever community bring it to us and would like us to program, we can put that in there. So today Leilani and her crew have put this film together. In a few weeks there's going to be something here when there's going to be 24 women talking about intersectionality of feminism, and that will be put up on there. So it's actually, it's a way to make the museum relevant. Like the exhibitions don't change, and so how do you bring people in and how do you show this is contemporary and we're concerned with people here and now and of the moment and what people are passionate about what work people are doing in their mahi. So you put it on the tool screen and suddenly you've got this amazing contemporary vivid now thing going on. Yeah.
So how do communities come in and be a part of the museum? How does that work?
we approach people and people approach us, and there's sort of, you know, historically museums have sat back and thought, we will do this for this community. They haven't thought, we will do this with this community, and they haven't, it's another step again to go, we're handing this over, we'll support, it can be done by the community. And so we're kind of in early days, but it is, a lot of it is really important that it's kind of really relational. It's, you know, you meet someone, you talk to someone, and somebody knows somebody, and it kind of rolls from there. And I guess ultimately you get, you know, somebody will say to somebody, that museum's open to this sort of thing. We're a really small museum. We can kind of be sort of agile like that. We haven't got big rules around us, you know.
Now, one of the things I've been asking other people, it's a wee bit out of left field, but if you had a magic wand and you could wave it at anything or anyone, what would you wave it at and why?
Oh. If I had a magic wand, I'd wave it over everybody, and just like that, they'd be kind, because I think that this world would be a good place, this country would be a good place, this city would be a good place if everybody came from a position of kindness.
So my name is Gio, and I am the program lead for Inuenua Te Rāwhiti in Gisborne. I'm under the Tautua Village whānau. And it's just been a space where it's safe for our takatāpu and rainbow rangatahi to come and just chill and talk about things that's happening, and, you know, run functions for them where they are participating and they want it, instead of trying to make something up for them and then forcing them into it. So, yeah, it's all about creating safe space for our rangatahi, as well as working towards them and, you know, building a better future for everyone. Because growing up in Gisborne, there was no options for our takatāpu rangatahi, so I guess it's my chance now, and with the help of Malia, the director of Tautua Village, to do something for our takatāpu rangatahi in Gisborne.
So how did it all come about?
So once upon a time, so I'm a my background is hairdressing and makeup artistry, and once upon a time, Elizabeth Kirikiri came up to me in the salon and said she's starting up this program at Tautua Village, and it's for our takatāpu rangatahi, and she wants some leaders in there. And I was like, yeah, sure. So went along with no expectations whatsoever, and five months down the track, I am here and I'm working for them. Yeah, so I've left my hairdressing job, and now I'm doing youth work for our rangatahi, which is great.
So can you describe some of the activities that you do?
So we've only ran maybe 2 months worth of programs, and what we're doing at the moment is just, you know, building and structuring our rangatahi group so it's solid, but as well as we've got a big celebration for Matariki coming up in July, which is a pre-Matariki, which is very exciting, and Anuanu Te Rāwhiti, their part in the celebration is actually putting on a wearable arts creation, and within these creations will represent the seven sisters of Matariki. So that's our next project that we're looking forward to, and that's what we're doing at the moment, is just creating these garments for the celebration.
And what's the response been from rangatahi in Gisborne?
The response has been really good. The rangatahi has been real great. They've been coming and going. You know, you do have your solid few, and then some come and then go. So it's been really good, but I think it's just keeping the consistency there for, you know, having a space for them is great. And then, you know, they'll eventually all come one once upon a time, but at the moment maybe our numbers are looking at a good solid seven, which is great. And then you know, because we like to work with quality, not, you know.
And you were saying that when you were growing up that there wasn't any kind of group like this.
Yeah, so once upon a time, not so long ago, there was no support group at all. Maybe there was, but I didn't know about it. Fortunately, I had a lady by the name of Ryan. She was basically my transgender mother that helped me through my walk in society in Gisborne, yeah. And then now I think it's my time to give back and Afi, our younger ones.
So can you describe what it was like growing up in Gisborne? I'm thinking this is what, in the 2000s?
So I think it was all, I personally enjoyed it. I guess because I'm quite comfortable in myself, it was easy for me. I'm not talking for everyone, I'm just talking from my experience. I enjoyed it. There was, you know, little rough patches, but I guess, you know, everyone has rough patches. And it's, yeah, I was fortunate enough to have family that was very supportive, and I came from a background where there was lots of rainbow whānau before me, so I just became just another one, just another one to add onto the list. So yeah, it was great having grandparents that, you know, sort of grounded me, and having a mum that was fully supportive. So yeah.
And I find it just amazing how these groups can actually come out of just one meeting from Elizabeth Kirikiri.
Yeah, so what actually happened was Elizabeth and Malia came to agreement to do the group, and it was honestly just a talk in the hair salon. And then from there, we had another guy called Trev. He helped, it was me and him that actually sort of helped start it all up. And yeah, and it's amazing how much it's growing from just, you know, a picture and a brainstorm to reality.
Can you see a change in the people coming?
I believe I can. It's just, I guess because Gisborne's such a tiny place, you know, people maybe are not comfortable enough to come out just yet. But that's what I want to promote is, you know, hopefully in the near future, things like celebrating diversity will become, you know, because I hope that just being whoever you are is, will become normal. And so it would just, you know, just celebrating each other's diversity will be amazing. And then everything is just comes into line with all our mahi and stuff.
Yeah. And so today you're here at the Rainbow Pacifica event in Wellington. What brought you here today?
So Leilani came down to Gisborne and we had a really good talk. I had a hui with her, and she was telling me about this, and I was like, yes, I'm going to come. And then we had a talk with the boss, and she was all good for it. So Malia happily funded our trip to come down to Wellington and enjoy the space and, you know, just connect with other rainbow whānau outside of our comfort zone of Tairawhiti. So, yeah. And I was fortunate enough to be put on the spot to do a performance. So, yeah, just to top it off.
And can you tell me about the performance today?
Oh, okay, so my performance today is just going to be a traditional Tongan Daolunga that was composed by my grandpa. And my great-grandfather, I should say, back in the 80s. So it'll be a nice time to just, you know, share culture with everyone. Because, you know, I think that's where our identity sort of starts from, is our background and who we are and where we come from. So yeah. And hopefully my dance may help our Tongan whānau be more comfortable in their skin and who they are as well.
If you had a magic wand, mm-hmm. and you could wave it at anything or anyone, mm-hmm. who would you wave it at first, or what would you wave it at first and why?
This is a good question. Who would I wave it at? There's a lot of people that I'll wave this one day. But I guess I'll just, if I had to wave it at something, I'll wave it at mindset. I'll wave it in the mindset where things are not so inclusive. So I'll wave it at schools. I think I'll wave it the mindset of schools to support our rangatahi and have, you know, because they like to say school's a safe place. So hopefully if we wave that wand and make sure that the mindsets do change and help our rangatahi prosper with education, I think that will be a great start for our young generation. Oh, kia ora mai tātou. I'm Malia Patia Taylor. I am currently living in Gisborne. And the reason why I came today was to support Rainbow Pasifika, to support Leilani, and to support Pasifika Rainbow community in this amazing event. We also have a young person, Gio Toa, who does some work with us at Tautua Village, which is a Ranatahi space, centric space in Gisborne. That was created last year, so I wanted to come down and support her.
Could you tell me about Gio's work in the village?
So Gio is, obviously you've met Gio, she's a beautiful whakaliti. She's she has decided, her and a few other young people have decided that there needs to be a really safe space for young people in Gisborne who identify as rainbow, and so she's created that space. You know, like she creates little activity nights and things like that, and she hangs out with the kids. We've had a few upcycling clothing initiatives that she's actively part of. So, she's like the creator of all cool things for Ranatahi Rainbow in Gisborne.
Why is it important to have those safe spaces?
Well, I think, especially in Gisborne, we've got some high statistics for some pretty, you know, for some quite sad things, suicide being one of them. And we've got, there are not many spaces in Gisborne that are Ranatahi-centric. Whilst we have a lot of education spaces and all that stuff where young people go, they're not exactly the spaces that young people want to hang out in all the time. You know, they're kind of specifically for education or specifically for sports, which is awesome, but there's no spaces that are specifically for Ranatahi to just go and chill and be safe and meet other Ranatahi and have some, just have like activities. It's not really like a, yeah, there's no real drop-in kind of centres. Remember back in the day, you know, there were drop-in centres. There's not anything like that in Gisborne. Mm.
Can you see a change in the rangatahi, you know, starting out coming to Gio's group and then, you know, a couple of weeks later?
I have. I've already seen young people be just, I mean, Gio's got this whole thing around being your authentic self, and which I think is amazing. I think it's not just for young people. I think it's for everybody. You know, we all are striving to become more of our authentic self. But the young people that have come into her space have just become a little bit more vocal. They're smiling more. So we've met some young people who have kind of come in, you know, with the hair down and kind of, hi, you know, and now it's, hi, you know. So even, you know, people might think, oh, you know, well, that's not much, but it's actually huge in a place like Gizzy. And I actually think that it's probably huge in other areas too, where young people are kind of, you give them a space to be able to express their authentic self, they're more likely to feel more comfortable and seen. So there's this whole thing about not being invisible anymore and actually being seen, not being, and also being heard. So it's been pretty amazing. She's pretty onto it. And her team are amazing. And they're all young people. So we should just sit down and let them do what they need to do.
What's the future of the group?
I know that the group have, like I said, that it's Ranatahi-centric, it's Ranatahi-run, so they're making decisions about where they want to head. So they've, you know, they're strategically thinking about and putting in place now little kind of, what do you call it, just steps towards making it more sustainable. As I don't know if you know about Te Tai Rāwhiti, but you know, we're quite, there's a massive rural community there, so we've already, Gio's already started connecting in with some coast whānau and that, so that's so, and as a result of that, every fortnight is now going to be part of her mahi, is to travel up to the coast and connect in with those whānau and create together what needs to happen for them. So I think it's going to be ongoing. I don't think it's something that's just going to stop tomorrow. It's not like an event where you have an event and then it just stops. It's one of these, she's really focused on making sure that it's the after events. It's the follow on that's, really important to her and her team. So she's got four in her team at the moment. Youngest is 16.
So what do you think the biggest issues facing rangatahi takatāpui in Gisborne are?
What I've heard from Gia and her team is that a lot of it is about not being seen, not being seen and not being heard. They're still feeling like they're kind of, you know, on the outside of anything ranatahi. Those are some pretty big issues in a place, a small town like Te Tairawhiti, or a small space like Te Tairawhiti, where, like I said before, we were already hit by a whole lot of other dumb stats. Mm.
Today you're here at the Rainbow Pacifica event in Wellington. Why is this event important?
It's not just because I know Leilani and I know the work that she does, but I think for me it's actually to support Pasifika to really allow, again, a space for Pasifika Rainbow to kind of to whakanui them and to whakamana what it is that's important for them. I think that's really important, and that's why we've come down to Tautokoa.
I was asking Gio, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it at anything or anyone, what would you wave it at first and why?
That's a hard question. I'd want to, I suppose I'd want to like wave it over every person or every ideal or idea or whakaro out there that, that kind of forgets people who are marginalised and I would probably just go yow, jump, jump, and zap everyone just so that it's a little bit more inclusive and a little bit more culturally safe.